So I don't know how many of you have experienced this. In the days before, we were always carrying cell phones and stuff in our pockets. And you're down in the basement, and it's nighttime, and then all of a sudden, there's this power outage. And you're right down there in the basement, and most of our basements don't have many windows. So it's dark. It's pitch black dark in there. You can't see your hands in front of your eyes. And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, I have to get out of here. But I have to remember what's going on. Where is all the stuff lying on the floor? Where are the posts and all of these things? So you kind of call upstairs and say, hey, can someone get a flashlight to get me out there? And they're saying, we're looking for it. We can't find it. Hold on. But in the meantime, you're thinking, okay, let me try and get out there. So very carefully, you're trying to move because you can't see a thing. It's just like that. And on the way, you're wondering, I hope I know. And then, bam, you hit your toe, and it's like, oh man, I didn't need that. And hopefully you don't hit your head or something like that, until you see a little bit of the flashlight and you hear the voice saying, I got the flashlight, I'm coming, and you get the light and you get out. Now I start this way because I think sometimes life is like walking in a dark basement in a power outage. Walking in life, we're kind of blind. We can't see the future. We have no vision beyond the present, right? None of us knows what our kids are going to turn out. None of us knows when we're going to die. None of us know even if there's going to be another pandemic in the year coming. We don't have that. We don't know that. It's like walking blind in a dark basement. But the difference is this. My basement, at least I am a little familiar with. So I have an idea where the things are. But life can be fatal. Life can be really hard. Life can take a toll and come at you from an angle that you never saw. So we're all walking carefully, trying to keep in a straight line, but that's difficult when you can't see, hoping not to stub your toe or hit your head, but chances are you are going to. Just ask a man called Jairus. He was walking, trying to walk carefully straight, and all of a sudden, life just takes this turn, and he's right down there in the darkest basement, and there's no light, and he's calling for help, hopefully to find the light to get out there, because he knows that he cannot get out of this dark on his own. So read with me. Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 21 to 24, and then we'll pick it up at verse 35 a little later. Reading from the NIV. So Jesus right now, just coming back from the land of the Gerasenes, where he cast out these devils, these demons from this man. So he goes to the other side of the lake of the Sea of Galilee. It's the lake. When you hear lake, it's the Sea of Galilee. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. And then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter, Greek is so beautiful, Thugatrion. Thugateros, daughter, Thugatrion is that diminutive. My little girl, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and lived. Verse 24, and so Jesus went with him. Let's just stop there for a second. So here's this man, Jairus, and let me just tell you a little bit about being leader of the synagogue. That meant that he was someone that people looked up to. He was well-known, well-respected, because leader of synagogue, remember, was the cultural center. It was the central for education. It was the spiritual center. It was the center for social activity. So when you think of Jairus in our terms, he could have been something like the lead pastor of the synagogue. He would have been a tenured professor. He could even have been the mayor. So looking at his life, he's a made man. He has a job. He has job security. He has all the benefits. Everything is good. Who could ask for anything more? Except Jairus could and did. He would give all that he had. All of this for the life of his little girl. Because notice the Jairus that we see here coming to Jesus is not the clear-sighted Jairus that was going along doing his work and all is fine and well taken care of. And the Jairus we find here is that blind beggar that has nothing, asking for a gift of grace. Please, please, Jesus, please will you come and just lay your hands on my little girl. She's dying and I'm alone in that dark basement and I don't know what to do and I can't get out of there on my own. Please. Notice though, that he's not bargaining with Jesus. Jesus, if you do this for me, let me tell you what I will do for you. Because we know that, right? We know the bargaining thing. He's not negotiating. He's not saying, so Jesus, I know those guys up in Jerusalem. They really have it in for you and they want to get hold of you. But I have a few friends in high places. I can talk to them if you do this for me. He doesn't make any excuses like, I know I've messed up in some places, but I won't. All he does is he pleads. I'm in the dark and I can't do this. Will you please be that light that gets me out of this darkness? Because here's the thing, my friends. He has it all, but he has nothing. Because sometimes what we have to offer is nothing compared to what we're asking to receive. Jairus knows that. He has nothing. He's a blind beggar walking in a deep, dark basement. And he doesn't know where he's going. But he knows that he can't see the future, but Jesus can. He knows that he cannot see beyond the darkness, but he knows that Jesus can. And he knows that Jesus loves taking care. And Jesus loves new beginnings. And when this man, Jairus, comes to Jesus and he says, I am a blind beggar in a dark basement. Jesus says, let me go with you, Jairus. They don't get too far. Because after where we read verse 24, the rest of the story is interrupted now. It's the story of the woman who was bleeding for 12 years and then came and touched Jesus. And you know the story. So the story is interrupted and it picks up again in verse 35. And that's where we are going. Jesus just did this. They're getting ready to get off and get on the way again. And then some servants from Jairus's house comes and verse 35 says, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. So why bother the teacher anymore? So they come with even more bad news. It's too late, Jairus. You're stuck in the basement. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Don't bother the Lord Jesus. There's the fact before you. Your daughter is dead. But I want you to hold on to your seats because now the story really starts moving. Let me read one more verse with you and then we'll talk. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? And then the NIV says, overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid. Just believe. Can I just change that word overhearing for you for a second? Because I don't think it's a good translation. The Greek word for that we translated here with overhearing is the word parakuo. Meaning, para means on the other side, not paying attention kind of thing. And akuo means to hear. So a better translation would be ignoring what they said. Jesus told him, don't be afraid. Just believe. I love that. I love this moment. Ignoring what they said, Jesus said to him, "Don't be afraid. Believe in me." See, here's the thing. The critical principle for seeing the unseen is to ignore the voices. To close your ear for the voices. And you know the voices as well as I do. Those voices saying, I told you, you'd never amount to much. I told you, you'd never make it. Look at you. Who do you think you are? Do you think God will even ever listen to you? Look at you. Do you think God cares about you? Do you think God can change this? Do you think these things are possible for God? How do you think this is ever going to change? You're stuck in the basement. You're not going anywhere. Sometimes faith asks us to put earplugs in our ears. Because when we're in that dark basement, the voices will come. The voices that put that cold feeling around your heart, that put that knot in your stomach, those voices that drown out everything else, and all you see is you can't see. Because you're in the darkness, and it's all in front of you, and there's nothing. And Jesus says, ignore them. Don't be afraid. Listen to my voice. Believe. Trust me. Have you been there? Well, look at Jairus. He has a choice. Jairus can choose to look at what seems to be the facts. Your daughter is dead. Or he can choose to see in faith, that Jesus says, don't be afraid, Jairus. You saw I ignored them. Walk with me. Take my hand and trust me. Sometimes we need to make that choice. Because the problem is we get stuck so easily with saying, but this is all I see. And we forget that faith is seeing the unseen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, I'm going to read from the NCV, says, faith means being sure of the things we hope. Jesus, if you can just lay your hands on them. And then they come and they say, she's gone. And knowing that something is real, even if we do not see it. And Jesus says, this is the real deal. You asked me in faith, and I'll trust you. So now trust me and see in faith in the unseen. Because the facts say she's dead. But my faith says, Jesus, you are Jesus, and I know that I can trust you, and I can walk with you. And Jairus makes his choice to trust Jesus, to drown out those voices, to ignore them, to put in those earplugs, and to walk in faith. So verse 37, he, Jesus, did not let anyone following except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. He didn't need a crowd. He doesn't want a crowd. It's not about a crowd. This is not how God works. Verse 38, when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. In those days, they had these professional mourners that would come when they heard about this. They would be paid to do that. So at least it felt like that it's hard and it's difficult and it's so not good. So they're crying and wailing and making this huge commotion and noise when Jesus gets there. And Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. Verse 39, he went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? Child's not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talita kum, which means Aramaic, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. And he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. They get to the house. There's all these mourners and they're crying and they're wailing and they're doing all this stuff. And Jesus says, come on. What's this crying? Because you can't see the unseen. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. You see, here's the thing. Right now, the facts say, logic says, she's dead. Faith says, get out of the basement. Let me help you. She's only sleeping because Jesus is there. And of course, what does the world do? The world laughs. Come on. What's wrong with you, buddy? She's dead. You can see it. She's dead. And then there's this beautiful, I love it. It's the most beautiful moment for me in this whole passage. Our translation says it so coolly. He said, after he put them all out. Actually, that's not accurate. The Greek word uses here is the word ekbalo. Ek in Greek means out. And balo means to throw. So to ekbalo them, Jesus kicked them out of the house. It wasn't our wonderful Canadian way. Oh, could I please ask you, would you please leave? No! He kicked them out the door. He grabbed them by the scruff of the neck and he tossed them out the door and said, get out of here. It's the same word that's used when Jesus is there in the temple and these money changers are cheating everyone and Jesus gets angry at them and he throws them out the temple. Ekbalo. 38 times in the New Testament, this word is used when Jesus gets rid of the demons. Ekbalo. He throws them all out. As he did with all of these demons just before this as well, in the beginning of the story, in the land of the Gerasenes. And now he ekbalos these voices. And you're asking, why so violent? Why? Can I tell you why? Because he knows what these voices do to us. When you're in that basement and you are in the dark and all these voices are around you, don't believe, you can't believe, this will never change. Who can change the death? Who can change that? Who can do that? We get so confused that we walk into every post and we stub our toes all over the place. But if we can throw them out and listen, hear that one voice saying, don't be afraid. But trust in me. Believe. Just believe. For the voices get us all off course. The voices have us walking into walls when we shouldn't. Because the voices do not help us to see the unseen. The critical principle for seeing the unseen is to plug the ears, all those voices, and to listen for the one voice that says, follow my voice, here's the light. And then the miracle happens. Little girl is raised. And I've often wondered about this because, I mean, I don't think it was for her sake because she was way better off where she was with the Lord. In his kingdom. But I think it was for our sake that she was raised so that we might believe. Listen to that one voice who can say, Talita kum. I say to you, get up. Listen to my voice. And to remind us that heaven hears when we trust. one voice. It's all we need to hear. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, sometimes the voices are so loud that we get off course and we walk ourselves bloody-nosed into walls and we stub our toes and we fall and we are hurt. Help us, Father God, to hear your voice, the voice that we need to hear. And as we walk and we stand as blind beggars that have nothing to give, and we can follow that voice and know that that voice will get us out of that dark basement. That moment where a little girl hears Talita Kum, and they rejoice. And she can eat because you have given life. Thank you. Thank you that you are there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.